96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It's a common phrase for professionals of every age and background: work-life balance. What isn't so common is how to get there, how to achieve it, how to leave home at home and work at work and not let either interfere with the other. Well, my guests have a lot to say about that and some tips on how you can achieve an emotional work-life balance. Ramon Richards is a vice president at Fannie Mae. Deborah Owens is a career coach and founder of Corporate Alleycat. And Dr. Nicole Cutts is a clinical psychologist and success coach. Lines are open if you have a question or comment about achieving an emotional work-life balance. And if you're struggling with it, certainly give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Follow me on Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR or at H. Fisher WHUR. Thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Great to be here, Harold.
Okay, so let me start with Deborah. Deborah, how can a work-life balance that isn't balanced get you in trouble or be problematic for you at work?
So can you repeat the question?
How can it get you in trouble at work if your work-life balance isn't balanced? Mm-hmm. If you allow problems at home to follow you at work,
right?
For example.
So following up on if you have problems at home that follow you to work, I think that that's normal. Right? We're not robots. If you're going through a divorce, if you have a child that's sick, I don't think you turn that off when you go to work. So I don't know if I think the answer is how do we separate that or how do you not bring those problems to work? I think the question is how do you manage it in the workplace?
Mm-hmm. Well, but can it be problematic if you don't?
Absolutely, it can be problematic. Not only can it be problematic to your performance, to your interactions, to your physical and your mental well-being. And also it can potentially eliminate opportunities down the road because if I can, for particularly for people of color, you have a brand out there. And if there's something going on at work and nobody knows what's going on and it's causing your performance to slip or you're seeing your attitude or your level of engagement change, people may not ask those next questions. They may begin to make assumptions saying this person is not ready for X, Y, and Z, or maybe we can't pursue this opportunity with that person. But again, I think we're not robots. We're all humans. We all have issues that start at home. I think it's very difficult to separate it, but I think you can better manage how you deal with those problems, your personal issues in the workplace.
But Ramon, doesn't it also depend on how severe those issues at home are and how they may impact the job?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you always want to start from a place of what are the things that I personally can do to ensure I don't bring these challenges to work. I think it's also important for more severe situations to understand what services does your employer provide that could be helpful navigating through some of your personal challenges. I know at Fannie Mae, through our employee assistance program, we have services like face-to-face counseling, elder care support, on-site emergency child care, new parent support, the type of support that can help you through challenging situations.
It's interesting that you mentioned a couple of things when you're talking about, for example, counseling, if you're having a personal issue, and then you may have, you know, an issue regarding child care. I mean, depending on the severity of the kind of counseling that you need, those issues are really far apart, but they're all very, very important. And I can understand how they can affect your performance on the job.
Yeah, absolutely right. Employers have recognized that there needs to be more focus on the well-being of each of their employees. And so you're seeing more and more employees invest in these type of programs that help people balance between some of the challenges that they're working through, and helping them come up with different solutions, even when they bring those problems to work.
Mm-hmm. But now, Dr. Cutts, but here's the flip side of that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have someone who is so consumed in their job that it begins to impact their home life, whether it's the relationship, you know, with your spouse, a relationship or mate, or a relationship with your children.
Yes.
And with the 24-hour cycle of work, where you get up and you leave and you go early, you come home late, and you're bringing home work, how do you separate that from your home life?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to try to set some boundaries. I know that many workers are pushed to do more and more with less, and so we get into this 24-hour thing. But I think that we all have to really try to set some boundaries so we do we're not always bringing work home. Sometimes you have to, but, you know, try not to bring that home, first of all. And second of all, I think we really, like Deborah was talking about, how to manage stress. I think that we have to become better at managing stress both at home and at work, so that when you are in a particular situation, like I start from a place of emotional intelligence, so it's like the self-awareness piece, what's going on with me, you know, how am I feeling, and then the self-management piece, how do I manage myself and my relationships with other people so that I'm having the best possible relationships, and if those relationships are out of whack or out of balance at home or at work, then you need to back up, back off, and try to get things more in balance. And maybe that starts, again, with setting some boundaries.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about emotional work-life balance. What happens when you don't have that balance, and how do you achieve it? Where do you begin? Deborah, do you have to put your game face on at work?
Well, it's interesting you ask that question, because I wanted to jump in and say that, to Ramon's point, most organizations have lots of resources that are available to you and that you can ask for help. A lot of the questions I get is people say, well, I don't want my manager to know. Well, if you go to the HR, some of those resources, they are confidential. Your manager will not know what's going on. Many of the organizations, I'm sure Fannie Mae, they have third-party organizations. So whether it's a health issue, it's a mental wellness issue, that is not information that is shared with your employer. So I think I want people to know that you can go to these resources, and it is confidential. Your manager will not be involved in that. And I also want to say, I think sometimes people feel stressed because they feel like they need to overshare what's going on in their personal life. There's absolutely nothing wrong with saying, I need to take a couple of days off because I have to address some personal issues, period. You don't have to say, I've got a divorce going on, or I have severe child care issues. That's up to you. But oftentimes people feel like they have to give the whole backstory, mm-hmm. and you don't. And I think that's part of the boundaries as well. You don't have to share everything, and most organizations are set up so that confidentiality piece is intact.
So, Deborah, I just want to build on the point. I think boundaries is really important here. And I think it's about, how do you transition from work to home, home to work? And, you know, for me, what's worked is coming up with a routine. And I think a routine is different for each individual. For some people, it's exercise. It's listening to music. It's taking a walk. But it's understanding that when I'm at work, I am channeling and focusing in on this space. And when I'm at home, it's important that I'm present and I want to focus on this space. So one thing is coming up with something, some routine that works for you, that allows you to disconnect and then refocus on the priority at hand.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about emotional work-life balance. How do you leave home at home and work at work and not let either interfere with the other? Tony, calling from Columbia. Thanks for calling, Tony. What's on your mind?
Yes, my question is, when you're stressed out on the job by your superiors, what is the best way not to be able to bring that home? Because you need some kind of outlet, and that's usually your spouse that you talk to.
Dr. Cutts?
Well, that's a very good question, Tony. Well, the first thing I would look at is trying to change my own thoughts or my own cognitions so that I'm not feeling as stressed, because stress is the interaction between what's happening and how we think about it. So I would try to manage it myself with looking at what is it exactly that has me stressed out. Can I think about what's happening in a different way? You know, what part of that do I control? And then also, you know, if you feel like bringing it home to your spouse is causing too much stress between you all as a couple, you know, earlier we talked about getting help either on the job or from outside, from somebody outside. So looking at having either a social network that you can talk to and get support from, or seeking out help from a professional, I think can be very helpful.
Okay. Tony, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, Achieving an Emotional Work-Life Balance. How do you keep home at home and work at work? Let's talk to Pat. Pat calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Pat. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, you know, I want to comment on, you know, leaving work at home at home. I think it's really hard, especially today, because of the technology that we have. You know, you look at your emails all the time. You have your phone with you, and a lot of companies, you can actually have your email on the face, you know, on your phone that's easily accessible. And so you're constantly checking your email, even though you're at home. You don't leave work at work because you take work home with you. And so you kind of feel obligated to respond to people who are still sending you emails, even though you're at home. And, you know, you kind of feel bad if you don't respond to them immediately, or if they have to wait, you know, to get a response from you.
You make an excellent point,
Pat. Yeah. So, Pat, it's a great observation, and it's actually something that, you know, I struggle with it as well. I'll tell you personally what I do. When I go home, I try to put the devices down, focus on, you know, family time, dinner with the kids, the bedtime routine, any basics that I need to take care of with family. So really focus in on them. And at the point where, you know, those activities are complete, at that point, you know, I will go back and check some emails or catch up on the day. So to me, it's really about how do you make sure you're present in the right way with your family that's a priority, or some of your outside of work activities, and then identify when are those right times to reengage in work activity.
Thank you so much, Pat. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the emotional work-life balance. How do you keep home at home, work at work, and what's the phrase? Never the twain shall meet. You know, how do you keep them from, you know, knocking up against each other? And here's the thing, though. Because, you know, now we've got a credibility gap here in this conversation. And this is why. Because, Ramon, your title is vice president. You don't get there without a whole lot of work. Early days, late nights. Dr. Cutts, you are an entrepreneur and a clinical psychologist. Deborah, you are an entrepreneur 28 hours a day. I'm in the news business. I wake up and I'm looking at the news. I take it home with me. I take it to work. So what do we do, Deborah?
So I just want to respond to that last question.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a nice tie-in to where you're going with this. And I want to talk a little bit about expectations,
mm-hmm.
right? So she said, I feel obligated
right.
to respond. That doesn't mean that you have to respond. I might revisit that and say, well, why do you feel obligated? Because oftentimes people send emails. There's not a lot you can do with a lot of the exchange that goes on in the evening. You can't fully address some things until the morning. So I think sometimes we put burdens on ourselves that don't have to be there. I think we also show people how to treat us, and we sometimes set these unrealistic expectations. Just because your boss sent you a text at 9 o'clock at night, which I think might be a little inappropriate, doesn't mean that you have to respond right away.
And then you can give them a job, because that's the pressure that they feel. We're going to talk about that on the other side. Stay with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about work-life balance. How do you achieve it? The ups and downs of it. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio.